With verse 1, we're going to read through verse 11, and that is page 836 in your pew Bible. So let's stand together as we read God's Word. Page 836, Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the Word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Thank you so much. You can be seated. I read of the lady who wanted to take up ice fishing. So she read everything she could get her hands on and Googled ice fishing and finally purchased the equipment that she needed and all that she thought was necessary and made her way out onto the ice and opened up her stool and got out her fishing rod and took a saw and began to cut in the ice. And suddenly there was this loud voice above her that said, "There are no fish under the ice." So she moved further away from where she was at, got her chair opened up again, took out her saw, began to cut in the ice, and again the voice cried out, "There are no fish under the ice." Well, by now she's really frightened. So she moves to the far end of the ice and sets up her stool again and takes out her saw and begins to cut in the ice. And then she hears for the third time the voice, "There are no fish under the ice." But she believes this is God. She looks up toward the heavens and she says, "Is that you, Lord?" And she heard a voice that said, "No, it's the manager of the ice rink." You'll get it. Probably right in the middle of the sermon. You know, if your expectation is that you're going to catch fish in an ice rink, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're a fisherman by trade, if fishing is all that you have ever done, and if fishing is how you make your living, if your wife and your family are expecting you to bring home a boatload of fish in order to pay the bills, if you've fished on this lake all your life, if you have men who work for you who are depending upon a catch of fish in order for you to pay them and for them to make a living, if you know how to fish, which obviously Peter and these men did, unlike Lee Lassiter, who goes out and only catches a few little fish, they're expecting fish. And if you fish all night long and your expectations are that you're going to catch fish and you catch nothing, you're going to have unmet expectations. That's what I want to talk to you about today, is unmet expectations. All of us have expectations in life. We expect that we're going to live well, that we're going to have a good living. We expect that we're going to have a good marriage. We expect that our children are going to be born healthy. We expect that our grandchildren are going to be born healthy. We expect that we're going to live a long, healthy, full life. We expect that when we reach the age of retirement, there's going to be enough money there for us to retire on. We have expectations in life, things that we may not voice them, but deep inside we have these expectations. And particularly those of us who know Christ as our Savior, we have expectations. The expectation that we have oftentimes that is that if I do well and I do good and I treat other people right and I pay my tithes and offerings, I have expectations that things are going to work out for me. That I'm not going to have the problems and the pain and the trials and the tribulations that other people have. We have expectations as Americans of what we expect. We expect when we flip a switch, a light comes on. We expect when we pull up to a station, there's going to be gas. We expect that when we show up for work tomorrow, the doors are going to be open. We have expectations. The Old Testament tells the story of a man who, like Peter, had expectations. His story is found in the book of 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. It begins with verse 1. It's the story of a man named Naaman. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by Naaman the Lord had given victory to the king. Do you hear the description of Naaman? He was a great man. He was in high favor with his master, the king of Aram. He was well known in the kingdom. When he walked in, people knew who he was. People understood the power and the might that he had. He was the leader of the armies. He was a brave warrior that God had used to bring victories to the king. He had a following. He was, you know, he could walk into the court of the king without any introduction and be granted an audience with the king. He had unprecedented favor, unprecedented power, unprecedented might. But he had an unmet expectation. Because if you read the latter part of 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says this about him: the man, though, suffered from leprosy. He had everything going for him. Everything someone would look at and say, wow, to be like Naaman, to have that kind of wealth, that kind of power, that kind of authority, to be able to just walk in to the palace and see the king at any time, to as he walked down the streets, people would bow down to him, to be able to give an order to someone in his army and know that that order was going to be carried out, to have such bravery and valor, and yet he had a death sentence in his body. He was going to die. His life was going to be cut short. He was not going to live long enough to see all the expectations that he had for life be fulfilled, because he had leprosy. And it wasn't going to just be a just sudden death. He was going to die gradually, painfully. His body was going to begin to break down, his nerve endings, his skin was going to begin to die and to rot and to fall off. He was going to no longer would people look up to Naaman, but from now on people would turn their face away from him because they did not want to see the repercussions of this leprosy, how it was affecting his body. It wasn't what Naaman expected out of his life. It wasn't the way Naaman foresaw his life unfolding. It was not the expectations that Naaman had for his life. And when you run into a situation where you have unmet expectations, it can easily lead to doubt and to disappointment. This is what we see with Peter. Luke chapter 5, verse 2, we read it earlier, says Jesus saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. That wasn't where Peter expected to be. His expectation was that he'd be in the fish market right now selling a great load of fish. He would be giving money. He would be giving that money out to pay his workers. And then he would go home to his wife and throw open the door and say, "Honey, I'm home." And she would say, "Oh, sweetheart, you were gone all night. Did you have any luck? Did you catch any fish?" "Oh, honey, I loaded the boat with them. And look at all the money I've brought home. Johnny can have braces now. Look what I did." But instead, the boats have been drug up on the shore. Peter is not in the boat. He's washing the nets. And when Jesus begins to interact with him, you can hear the doubt and the disappointment in Peter's voice. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing." "We didn't fish." He didn't say we fished. He said we've worked hard. That was how Peter saw his night. "I worked hard. I have nothing to show for it. I don't know how I'm going to pay my men. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know what my wife's going to say when I come home and say to her, 'Honey, we worked hard all night and we caught nothing.' I don't know what I'm going to tell my landlord when he comes knocking at the door this afternoon wanting payment. I don't know how I'm going to keep my utilities on. I don't know how I'm going to pay that doctor bill for our child. We've worked hard all night and caught nothing. We did everything we were supposed to do. We held up our end of the bargain. We did what has always worked. We were faithful. You could count on us." And actually, Peter could also, because Peter had already seen a miracle of Jesus where he turned the water into wine, it would have been very easy for Peter to look at Jesus and said, "You could have done something. I'm one of your part-time disciples, Lord. I'm trying to tie up some loose ends so I can follow you. And this is what I get. I get nothing out of it." We expect that things are going to go good for us because we're good. And so therefore, the way we add it up mathematically, 1 + 1 = 2. I'm good. I'm good to other people. God should be good to me, and things should go the way I want them to go. My expectations should be met. Naaman struggled with disappointment as well. He goes, he's told that there's a prophet in Israel, and if you'll go there, he can heal you of your leprosy. And so Naaman goes, and he goes with a caravan with him loaded down with clothes and gold and silver and all manner of the wealth of his nation in order that he can show this prophet in Israel his appreciation, his gratitude, and somehow can sort of grease the skids a little bit, can open up the door, because Naaman is not a Jew. Naaman is a Syrian. The Syrians were the enemies of Israel. And so Naaman is going into this nation and going to see this prophet, knowing that this prophet should not really receive him because he's an enemy of the nation of Israel. So he is bringing donkeys and horses loaded down with the wealth of his nation in order to somehow crack the door open so this prophet will see him. And the prophet refuses to see him. Instead, the prophet Elisha sends a messenger out to see Naaman, and here is the message: "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." Now, you would think that if you were dying with leprosy, and someone, you've come, you've traveled a great distance, you've brought all kinds of gifts to bring to them in order to have an audience with them, you would think if all they've asked you to do is go wash in a river 7 times and you'll be cleansed, you would think that you would drop the reins of the horse and run as fast as you could to the Jordan River. But the Bible says this, Naaman went away angry and said, now Naaman is getting ready to tell us his expectation. I thought, there it is right there, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. I mean, Naaman had it all planned out, exactly how he wanted it to unfold. He'll come out. He'll call on the name of the Lord his God. He'll wave his hand over the leprosy and I'll be cleansed. That was his expectation. His disappointment in that expectation not being fulfilled almost led to a disaster. Because he continues on expressing his expectations. He says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? What are you hearing now? Now he's angry. His expectations have not been met. He didn't get what he wanted. Life didn't turn out the way he had planned. First of all, he has leprosy. But now he has come to the house of the prophet, and the prophet didn't do what he wanted him to do. And so his expectations are crushed again. And now he's angry about it. He's angry that the prophet didn't do what he wanted him to do. And so now he's saying, why do I have to wash in that stinking river Jordan? Can you hear the, you know, have you noticed that when people get angry, their voice changes some? And they get a little more snarly, you know? He's not just saying, you know, are not Arbana and Pharpar, the rivers of Aram, better than the water, the Jordan River? No, that's not the way he's saying it. He's saying it with disgust. He's saying it with anger. He's saying it with almost a thing of, if I could get my hands on that prophet, I'd dip him 7 times in the Jordan River. I told you what a Baptist pastor told me when we were talking about baptism. Because, you know, Methodists, we allow immersion, but it's not our first choice. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, and this pastor was telling me that he believed in immersion. And I said, well, you know, how long do you hold them down? He said, until they say tithe. But he says, couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? And now notice the next part. So he turned and went off in a rage. He is walking away from a miracle. He is walking away from God's deliverance. He's walking away from a healing. He is walking away from a life-changing encounter with God simply because it did not turn out the way he wanted it to. And he has now turned his back on the house of Elisha. He is ready to get on his horse and go back to Syria, fuming and mad and angry and pouting and sulking the whole way. Because you see, when your primary focus is on getting your expectations met, you are going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. And then disappointment opens the door for doubt to come in. And that opens the door for anger now to come in. You're angry at somebody. You're angry at the person you married. Why didn't he do differently? Why didn't she turn out to be like I thought she would be? You're angry at your children. Why'd they make those kind of choices? Why'd they get involved in alcohol? Why'd they get involved in drugs? Why don't they do better in school? Why aren't they on the honor society? Why isn't my son the best player on the team? Why doesn't my boss recognize me for all I do? Why did I get sick? Why did this happen to me? Because when our focus is on getting our expectations met, we are going to be disappointed and very possibly disillusioned. But the good thing about unmet expectations is they always provide an opportunity to change your focus. Peter's expectations were in his fishing prowess and his experience. And Jesus was offering him an opportunity to change his focus. because Jesus says to him, let down the nets. You don't fish in the middle of the daytime. Let down the nets. And I love Peter's response. It's in the last part of chapter 5, verse 5, where Peter says to Jesus, yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. There was a resignation that it may not be my way, and it may not happen the way I wanted it to, and I may have unmet expectations, and this may have not turned out the way I had it planned. But God hasn't changed. He turned his focus. His focus turned away from Peter to Jesus. His focus turned away from everything that told Peter, you don't fish in the middle of the day. You've never caught anything in the middle of the day. You don't do that. It would be like going fishing and getting in the boat and coming up towards shore and throwing your lure up on the ground and saying, I don't understand why I'm not catching fish. You don't do that. And Peter is having to move beyond his confidence in himself and his confidence in his ability to control things and to control people and to meet his expectations. He's having to turn away from that and now turn his focus upon Christ. Because Peter realized that it is very rare that Jesus will ever ask you to do anything that makes sense. He says to the servants, go fill the water pots with water and then draw it out and take it to the master. He says to Peter, cast your net out for a great catch. He says to Mary and Martha, roll the stone away. He says to a man born blind, do you believe? He says to a man who has traveled miles to see him and says to him, Jesus, my little boy is dying. Come home. And Jesus says, go home. Your little boy is alive. And that man turned and began heading toward home. He asks you to do things that don't make human sense. You don't build an ark in the middle of a desert. You don't build an altar to sacrifice the son that you have waited 25 years to be born on. You don't face a giant with a slingshot. You don't do those things because those things don't make sense. The servants of Naaman went to him and said, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. It would have been so easy for Naaman to just ride back to Syria. It would have been so easy for Peter to argue with Jesus and say, Jesus, people will laugh at me if they see me putting the nets back in the boat and going back out there to fish. And anyway, did you notice? I've just got them washed. Why do I want to dirty them up again? It'd been so easy for Peter to say, Jesus, this is just not the way you do it. You don't know anything about fishing. It'd been so easy for Naaman to have turned his back because his expectations in his mind were unmet. And so, I want to ask you a question. Are you stuck today in the quagmire of unmet expectations? Are you disappointed at how life has turned out? Do you struggle with doubt about God or about your future? Do you wonder, does God even know what I'm feeling in my body? Does God even know what I'm going through in my mind? Does God even know what I'm experiencing right now? It's so easy for us to live with expectations of what's going to happen. And then when they don't turn out the way we wanted, we oftentimes, instead of trying God, we try harder. We work with more effort. So here's the second question. Are you willing to try something that doesn't make sense? Because that's where faith comes in. It took faith for Peter to pick those nets up and say to his fishing company, get back in the boat, we're going out fishing. It takes faith to walk to the dirty Jordan River, there in front of your men, to humble yourself to what a prophet didn't even tell you, his messenger, his flunky told you. It takes faith to go out and to do that. It didn't make sense, but they expressed their faith. They were willing to try something that didn't make sense. You know, if you look back at the history of this church, it didn't make sense for missionaries to leave their homes in South Carolina and come down in this community and say, we're going to build a church. Doesn't make sense. But think about all the things in your life, in the natural, that you do every day, that really, 10 years ago, somebody would have told you that doesn't make sense. If somebody would have told you 20, 25 years ago that one day you'll have a little thing that's not much bigger than a business card, and you'll be able to talk to anybody you want to, not only talk to them, send them text. Well, what's a text? Send them emails. What's an email? You'd be able to communicate with them. You would have said, that doesn't make sense. You know, to tell you the things we'll do that don't make sense, and I'm closing. When I was about 25 years old, I realized that I was going bald. And I didn't want to go bald. I wanted to have hair. And so I asked the person who cut my hair at the time, I said, is there anything I can do to help my hair grow? And he said, well, there's two things I'd recommend. He said, one, you know, they say that gelatin, if you take a lot of gelatin, that'll help your hair grow. So I was like, okay, I can start buying it. And then the second one made sense, but it was really embarrassing. He said, if you'll hang your head off the end of the bed at night for about 5 minutes and let all the blood run to your head, that'll feed all those hair follicles, and that'll help them grow. You know what I did that night? After drinking a glass of gelatin, lay down on the bed on my back, scooched out to the end of the bed, and hung down. You know what I got out of it? A headache. But you know what? Even though it didn't make sense, I was willing to try it because I wanted to see change. So let me ask you, in your life, are you willing to do something that God asks you to do, that His Word tells us to do, that just doesn't make sense? If you are, I believe God can change the focus of your life. And it gets off of what you weren't able to accomplish to what He can accomplish. Heavenly Father, You are a great, powerful, mighty God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Your Word tells us in the Gospel of Luke that an angel stood before Mary and said, you'll conceive and bring forth a son, and you'll name him Jesus. And she said, how can this happen? I'm not even married. And the angel said to her, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Oh Lord, we have lived too far. We have lived so below Your expectations because we have been so caught up in our own expectations. May we be like Peter, who said, "Lord, if you say it, I'll do it." May we be like Naaman, who said, "It's humbling and it makes no sense, and it's not something I would choose to do. But because you said do it, I'll do it." God, give us that kind of faith, where we stop analyzing and trying to figure it out and trying to somehow in our mind see a way that we can make it work. And may we just throw our hearts and our minds and our spirits and our faith open to you and say, "Lord, let us tap into your expectations." I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Take out your hymnal to page 536. 536, we're going to sing the first.